رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين. ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير، وبك نستعين يا فتح. آمين ثم آمين يا رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We will continue our tafsir of Surah Al-Kahf from Ayah 9 inshallah. أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا. Do you think that the people of the cave and the inscription, the news or the names of the people of the cave were a wonder among our signs? From here, story of Ashab-e Kahf started. We read in Surah's reason behind its revelation. We read that when the ambassadors of Quraysh-e-Makkah went to Ulama-e-Yahud of Medina, they were told to ask Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam three questions. And one of them was about Ashab-e Kahf. The story starts from here and will continue till Ayah 26. Let's see this in detail so when the Ayah come, we can comprehend it fully and properly inshallah. So little summary that who were Ashab-e Kahf? Where were they from? In which era they were in? It was Isa alayhi salam's era, when Isa alayhi salam started to fulfill his obligations as a prophet and started spreading the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama-i Yahud considered him their enemy and were after his blood. They started torturing him and accused him that Isa alayhi salam is making deen easy. Why it happens? Because Ulama-i Yahud added many additional things in their deen. They used to tell people things they wanted in order to satisfy their wants and desires. Isa alayhi salam sorted out the deen from all of those unwanted additional things and showed it to the people. And they, the people, liked it. Because whatever is close to nature has attraction in it. It generally happens that after a few years of deen, then some people in the name of taqwa, some in the name of caution, and some by other names start putting ban and restrictions in deen. As a reaction, people start going away from deen. If we tally Muslims along, that after Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam's death, for quite a long time, there were ilmi gatherings. To seek knowledge used to be considered a priority. And gatherings to seek knowledge were probably bigger than cinema halls nowadays. If any scholar used to come in town, people used to go to them in hundreds of thousands in number. The same way gatherings of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah's gathering used to be more than 50,000 people in them. And people used to work without microphones. As you can imagine, transmitting voice was a huge task. And people used to ask many times in between regarding what they couldn't hear. Because people had that much love and thirst for knowledge. Amal is after attaining ilm, as love of learning comes first. When people have love of learning, then the love of amal develops itself. For this, you all can witness too, that when now you are all in Quran class, you are developing the love of amal too. This is a natural way of teaching people, that they should be brought closer to the actual source of knowledge. The main theme of Quran is Anzar. So everyone learns it, get closer to it, and then start teaching. It was an easy book. It was the book of average people. Till the people were close to the direct source. Muslims had a very good time too. When they studied, then they did Amal, and then they taught further. And when Muslims did Amal, Kuffar were scared of them. Then gradually they were driven away from the gatherings of knowledge. They were presented with difficult deen in the name of knowledge. We are not accusing anyone out of any ill feeling. But for the sake of example, if a person is teaching someone already and someone else wants to take over, so he will try his best to teach a thing which the previous teacher hasn't taught before. This is human psychology, right? Because if he will tell the same simple thing, then people will not be impressed as it was taught before too. So what happens? That sometimes, not all the times, whoever comes later in order to establish his worth, he adds some difficult things into the previous original easy ones, meaning adding difficult words, speaking difficult words of Arabic to cause impression upon the listeners that he knows more, or giving a lengthy and difficult talk. So what happens is that the listeners are affected and are impressed by his talk, and in the process, simple and easy knowledge changed. For example, there is a simple way of doing tafsir, which I am doing with you all. And then instead of giving simple household examples, I start adding different difficult ones or start speaking difficult fiqhi words. And in reality, there are. Sometimes it is when I take little pauses, I'm actually trying to find simple and easy words for you all. If I use those difficult words, it certainly will impress you, but it will push you far from the knowledge and amal. This happened in Muslims. That when instead of anzar and iblagh, self-promotion occurred, then personalities were established. Then the scenario occurred, no, we can't do this or that. Now there were challenges for all those established personalities. When these type of strategies come, then actual deen stays in the background and the birth of few personalities occur. Every person thinks that I cannot do it. For example, if any one of you think about me, I will hold you off even thinking that way, that the way you teach, we can never do that. That very thought only will put a big cross on that. You are underestimating yourself. The same happened with Bani Israel, that their ulama changed the easy and simple order of Torah into difficult ones. If you put undue burden on kids, then what they say? We do not want to, and they refuse to go further. That's exactly happened with the nations. Isa alayhi salam had the same value in Bani Israel. I'm saying this very cautiously. What Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's value is in whole world, as Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last prophet, and Isa alayhi salam was the last prophet for Bani Israel. So many similarities you will find between Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Isa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got the same job done from Isa alayhi salam, which he got it done from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you see the status of Isa alayhi salam, that he will be called back again, as he will come back in Ummah again. So the things they both have in them is not in other prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Since Ulmai Yahud had many additions, when Isa alayhi salam came and he used to preach in very motivational way. He was very soft spoken and he used to preach in a way that it used to make great impact on the hearts of the people. As a result, what happened was, number one, people got easy thing. I won't say easy, got natural thing, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave in Torah. Number two, his style was very good. Number three, Isa alayhi salam did not needed any protocol for himself. Now what happened was Ulama Yahud felt prejudiced and didn't like the situation. Now they couldn't do much to Isa alayhi salam as he was a religious personality. So they exploited the government and made alliance with them. They told the government that Isa alayhi salam has become extremist and is doing amendments in deen. They accused him that he is breaking the norms of deen, which are going on from centuries. So they went to a Roman governor and filed a case against Isa alayhi salam and started preparing to hang Isa alayhi salam. We read that before, that it didn't happen as Isa alayhi salam was raised up by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and after that Bani Israel decline started. There was no ray of hope that Deen-e-Masihi will flourish. Some Hawari, only few in number, they understood Haqq as Isa alayhi salam had that light of Haqq engraved in their hearts before he left. Even then, they had to face many difficult situations, but their iman stayed strong and they started working on small level, thinking, so what Isa alayhi salam has been raised up in the heaven, but we still are here. And they start preaching Deen-e-Masihiyat, since the message they were conveying was true. Although they didn't get any media exposure, meaning they were not in bigger group, but Haq gets its recognition anyway regardless of the number. And people in big groups are expelled out because of their wrong message. This is nature's principle. People were greatly impacted by their preaching and they started following them. And Deen-e-Masihiyat started spreading again. People starting their gatherings of Deen, people started believing in Tawheed again, started believing on Isa alayhi salam's prophethood, his Risalat, and started believing in Akhirah. Now think, whole country was of Romans. Statues were everywhere. Their kings had spread their statues all around. When all of this going on, towards the end of year 248, their emperor Decius, who took over the throne, and he banned by law the spreading of Deen-e-Masihiyat. You can say, put a ban on mosques, closed all the madrasas, Islamic schools. According to the Encyclopedia Britannia, he was the first person who started distortion of Deen-e-Masihiyat. Meaning today, what you see this deen is different form. Obviously, it must have started somewhere, sometimes. If house becomes dirty, it does not happen in one day. Someone must have thrown the trash first. So it is said that the person who planned to make changes in Christianity and he in his era started murdering Christians. Long story short, although we enjoy history a lot. Anyway, in circumstances like these, there were some young men who were doing their work and it is quite possible that they did not know each other either. But when there is common goal, attraction tend to happen. There was a big function arranged from the king at one occasion and people were invited. The norm was when king used to come, people used to stand and bow in front of him. Everyone used to honor the king and shirk used to be promoted there. So what happened was that when king came and one of the young men saw that shirk is being promoted here, he removed himself from there. It is said that he came out and stood under a tree outside and made a dua that, O Allah, here they are giving invitation of shirk and I cannot do it. So help me. Actually, we are now studying the role of youngsters. As it is said that when youngsters recognize their status, then it revolutionizes the nations. And I'm so happy to say that on world level, year 2000 are the years in which our youth are moving forward. So all these young men had the same thought turn by turn, as they had Tawheed in their hearts and their message and goal was same. They all gathered under the tree and started their discussion and formed a group. When they left, people started talking and King found out about them, that there are few young men who are revolting against him and they do not want the way of life I am giving them. So he ordered to arrest them. Now in order to save themselves, they took refuge in a cave. Since they left in the name of Allah, they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala held their hand and granted them help. So from ayah 9 to 26, we will see the same story. We will talk in detail as we go along the ayahs, but let's do a little summary of it. Am hasibta anna ashab al-kahfi? Do you think that people of cave see the style started with the word am? Its meaning or what, whether, but? These are the different meanings in Arabic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking His beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did you assumed here why Prophet ﷺ was addressed? Because he was asked questions about them. And he was told that Anna Ashab al-Kahfi, that you thought that the people of cave hear word al-Kahf came. It comes for cave. It is little different from other average caves. This is the type of cave in which light can come. You can sit. It's a slightly bigger cave. When we talk about cave, we think of cave, we think of dark, dingy and small one. But all caves are not such. You can imagine a bigger cave where sunlight and air both come. And it is said that there was a water spring nearby too. So that way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arranged for basic needs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Am hasibta anna ashab al-kahfi? Do you think, or if we take the word meaning, or do you think? These are the same Ashabe Kaf we just talked about. And we will see further on that. Next is Warraqimi and the inscriptions. It is from Ra, Qaf, Mim. Raqam is to write. Did you hear Kitabum Marqum? It comes in Suratul Mutaffifin. Kitabul Marqum, so it was to Raqam, to write. So who were they? It is written, here the ones with inscriptions, we put inscriptions on the graves. One opinion is that it is the other name of Ashabe Kahf, which usually scholars say, but others say no, because there is waw in between, so it means there were some others and it is a different story. Who were they? Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu alayhi's words are more closer to it. He said it is of those three men. We read in Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith that they were stuck in a cave and upon their individual prayers they got out and they were also from Bani Israel. Whoever they were, Quran and Sunnah are silent on it. If we see, they both have cave a similarity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kanu min ayatina ajaba, were a wonder among our signs. What are the wonders and the signs? We will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept them alive in the cave, kept them safe, and granted them lot of ni'mas from Himself. So what happened? Idh awal fityatu ila al-kahfi. Remember, when the young men fled from refuge, from their disbelieving folk to the cave. فَقَالُوا, so they said, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِن لَّدُنكَ رَحْمَةً, our Lord, bestow on us mercy from yourself. وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِن أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا, and facilitate for us our affairs in the right way. These young men hid in a cave in order to save their lives, to save their iman, and to save their youth. Upon arriving there, they prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Word awa came. It means to level the place. Word ma'wa is from it too. Jannatul ma'wa. Al-fityatu is the plural of fatun. That young man who is full of strength, you can call a teenager. They came into the cave and prayed, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِن لَّدُنكَ رَحْمَةً, our Lord, bestow on us mercy from yourself. Hear what is meant by rahma. Matter to ponder. Very beautiful story. Anyone who ever has left anything for his Rabb will understand it properly, that what it means by asking for rahma here. They left the comfort of their homes. They had so much. Must had everything in the world, whatever anyone can imagine. And time like this, they ask their Rabb that rahma. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِن لَّدُنكَ رَحْمَةً, our Lord, bestow on us mercy from yourself. This rahma is the ability to work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. This was their ache, their desire, and the person who has this ache can only ask for this rahma. In our culture, we usually say, if someone is pregnant, Allah's rahma. Good business, we say Allah's rahma. Daughter got a good boy to marry, we say Allah's rahma. It is like that, right? Allah is saying, rahma to what? They are standing in the surroundings where everyone was sitting quietly. When people became slave of their traditions and sit in their houses to do tasbih only. And that has become our cultural tradition. In such scenario, they are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah, that Allah, make us a lamp in this darkness, so it could eliminate the darkness around us. We do not have any resources. We came empty-handed. And وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. They were hiding and were scared of their lives, what they had brought with them. They had hard time saving their lives. And where these ayahs are revealed? In Mecca. It is being taught to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you are about to leave this place too. When Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam also took refuge in a cave. I also feel that we should spend a day or two in a cave. because when luxuries of home are taken away, then we find out what work is. Here it is Fatan. And with Prophet ﷺ, it was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. From the very first day till end, and now till the day of judgment, his grave is with Prophet ﷺ. Such dedicated companions, even one is enough. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the only one, as Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu came along after some years. But tree of deen surely is planted. It will bear its fruits later. And which garden sees his fruits? Illa mashallah. Actual thing is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them a group. Just see here which thing bonded them together. Think, their goal, their purpose. Purposes bond people together. When intentions are one, when cause is one, when ultimate goal is to promote one thing, then people unite. And when it is one Allah's deen, then we stick together, we unite. When purpose become personalities, imams, imaikrams, maslaks, organization, then ummah breaks. Two people can have their righteous deeds based on good intention, but not necessarily the same goal. For example, one person is taking care of sick and the other is praying in masjid. Both are doing a righteous deed, but both have different goals. For that reason, they will not be united, as at namaz time, one will leave, whereas if any sick calls for help and the other will leave. Those who find same-minded people are very lucky. See, the first person who left, others were steadfast because of him. If no one would have come, then it is quite possible that he might have sat down or someone would have caught him there. So one person can do anything either. One stick can be broken by anyone, whereas many sticks collectively are hard to break. The lesson we are getting here is to gather for one cause. And what is that cause? هِيَ الْكَلِمَةُ الْعُلْيَا. Allah's kalima should be higher. Allah's name's kalima was there and will be there forever. Besides this, everything and everyone will go and have to go. Everything will finish. Another lesson we get from here is that no one can do any big task without doing dua from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without asking His help. Here we see a beautiful combination of effort and dua. We cannot separate ourselves from either one. Neither after doing duas only, future of Muslim Ummah will get better, nor only with our efforts alone. If we make both, inshallah, our problems will become easy too. Word Rashada, Rushd, Irshad, meaning very wise. Other thing we found out is their Aqeedah, Rabbana, our Lord. They broke the traditions. And when something breaks, uproar happens. It will happen in all times. A lesson for us is, in any society, if conscious deen comes and defies the deen followed in general, the uproar is bound to happen. When Prophet ﷺ started his work, same uproar happened in Mecca. Among many accusations made against Prophet ﷺ, one was he breaks households. Kids have left their parents and have joined him. Wives are following him and husbands are sitting home. This accusation was done the most. Let's see a scenario that everyone is doing wrong things, but they have lot of unity among themselves. They claim, we have so much love among our brothers. All brothers used to live in the same house and bhabis used to feed brother-in-laws with their own hands. Indeed, all are united. Deen came and you came to know that brother-in-law is a death. So distance please. You started covering yourself properly. Then mother-in-law's accusation came. See fitna? What kind of deen it is which is breaking the family? First it was unity and now it is broken. Now we will tell you which one should be better. If you ask the people of West, they will say no one should do anything. Just come back to your individual lives. Another example. If we find out that the water of this town is dirty, as the gutter pipes are leaking into the clean water, a technician comes and he suggests that in order to make the water clean, they have to dig the pipes. But people come and stop him from doing that. They tell him they are content as it is, because when they will dig the hole, it will cause problems for them, so leave as it is. When they are told that you are drinking dirty water, their answer is, but we are happy. Which method is better? Drink dirty water and stay happy, or wait little so the problem can be fixed? That is the only difference. When our families, our societies experience deen, it means we are cleaning and separating dirty water pipes. You are engineer of your household. If there is uproar in your house, do not worry. وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. Allah, they do not know, and they are happy in filth. The path I adopted, they will do dua for me tomorrow. For it, we need sabr, patience. Then what Allah did after a lot of uproar? فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ. Therefore, we covered up their sense of hearing, causing them to go in deep sleep. The way mother make her child sleep when he wakes up because of noise and put a pillow on his ears so noise does not reach him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not let them reach noises from outside. Don't worry, just sleep. Fil kahfi sinina adada, in the cave for number of years. These are barakas of the work in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's path. The situations which make people sleepless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that sleep peaceful, restful, and had tranquility in it. This is the cash reward for striving in Allah's path. Every one of you can check yourself in it. Working in His path while ignoring others is the sign of Allah's rahmah. مِن لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. And whoever asks others for their opinion, what do you think? Should I do it or not? Then, فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ will not happen, and you will hear all noises from outside. When a true mu'min gets out in Allah's path, he does not care less for other people. I will advise you all to the same, that if you want that, you memorize the rest of the surah too. Then cover your ears with your scarf little tighter. One of the students left the class after a comment. Someone told her that after you join classes, you gain weight, as you sit for hours at a stretch. Don't we gain weight when we sit in front of TV for hours, eating all kind of junk food? So what we learned, that we will not care for others' ignorant comments. Sinina adada, many years. How many? That we will find out later. Sinina is the plural of sin. Adadan is for counting, meaning counted years. Ayah 25 of this surah we will read. وَلَبِثُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ ثَلَاثَ مِئَةٍ سِنِينَ وَازْدَادُوا تِسْعًا. And they stayed in their cave 300 solar years, and adding 9 for lunar years. Allahu Akbar. How Allah gets His job done. Just remember, circumstances never remain the same. Decius also died by that time. ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِنَعْلَمَ أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ أَحْصَى. أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ أَحْصَى لِمَا لَبِثُوا أَمَدًا. Then we raised them up from their sleep, that we might test which of the two parties was best at calculating the time period that they had tarried. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He woke them up after a certain time. It came in comparison with sleep, so it means to wake them up. Which were those two groups? About whom it's been said, they who can calculate the time better, lima labithu. Some say one group is the one living in the city, people love counting. I saw a tafsir in which so many pages on how many were they. We will read all of that in coming ayahs. Then people discuss, what was the color of the dog? Was the dog's fur long or short? Counting like this can make us far from our goal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't tell us here. It could have, but counting will not make a difference. A true mu'min is very precious in Allah's eye. There is a whole chapter in a hadith that what is the status of a true mu'min in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if someone tarnish a true mu'min, someone try to take away his wealth, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can destroy the whole world. just narrating a summary of the hadith. It comes that it bothers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take away a mu'min's soul than anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want him to die, does not want that fasting, his salahs, his sadaqats finish, his righteous deeds finish. It bothers Allah. So counting is nothing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And believe me, tomorrow at the day of judgment, all these will be out in open. Small groups will supersede the big groups. People see where the crowd is bigger. They were few. How many? Who cares? Even one could have been enough. Abdullah bin Masood was a very thin man, but had a strong iman. People used to make fun of him because of his thin legs. It was said, tomorrow Abdullah bin Masood's one leg will be equivalent to Uhud mountain. Why? Iman has its weight. Taqwa has its weight. We say if we talk louder, then we can make our point across. So how many? Leave it. Two groups, one from the city and one the cave ones. Some say two groups were made within Ashabi Kahf, as both groups had different opinions as to how long they slept. And the third tafsir is that the moments of Ahde Risalat and Kufar had this disagreement. It does not matter, as it has nothing to do with Amal. So disagreement was that, how much they lived. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا إذ أوى الفتية إلى الكهف فقالوا ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا فضربنا على آذانهم في الكهف سنين عددا ثم بعثناهم لنعلم أي الحزبين أحصى لما لبثوا أمدا